if we should title it, we could give it the title, The Church, The Called Out. The Church, The Called Out. And the motivation and purpose of this lesson, which we think we won't be able to complete today, but we trust with the Almighty God's guidance and His great provision that we will have the opportunity to do so at another setting. But the purpose is to help Christians to recognize that as members of the church, they are separate. They are called out of the world by Christ for a purpose. To recognize that as members of the church, we are separate. We are called out of the world by none other than Jesus Christ, and we are called out for a purpose. In the lesson, we will seek to understand what exactly is the church and to understand the concept of being the called out. Why the called out? Why not the called in? Why are we the called out? But the central themes of the set of lessons will be examining by whom are we called. We want to examine the church being the called out. The called out of what? And then we hope to examine, as we delve into the church being the called out for what? And it is hoped that this will give us some sense of identity. A people who do not know who they are. You know, the historian will say, if you don't know where you're coming from, then you can't appreciate where you are or where you're going. You know, this is a lesson that I didn't learn in high school. You know, my philosophy then was that history is a thing of the past. Let's leave it there. But I've grown to recognize that if you don't know and appreciate where you're coming from, then you can't truly appreciate where you are, and it definitely impacts where we are going. So we hope that as we delve into what is the church and why this concept of the called out, then we will realize that we are not in a social club. We are not just part of an entity that gives us a commonality of purpose. We are beyond that. We are called by God. We are called by Jesus Christ, His Son. We are called out of something, and we are called for a purpose. But the word church has its root in the Greek word ekklesia, and I'm no Greek scholar, but it brings together the concept of ek, which is out of. And the other word that it finds its root is kalou, to call. And so when you put these Greek words together, it literally means that the church is a called out group of people. The concept of the church also denotes an assembly. And so when we talk about the church, we are not talking about the building. We are talking about a group of persons who have been called out for a particular purpose. This called out group of persons have been called out and has its accomplishment by the gospel. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, realize that we read chapter 3 in error earlier. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, we are told that the called out are called by the gospel. So we are called by the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's interesting, but we'll get to it later on, that this calling out by the gospel, that the apostles took ownership of the gospel. It is the gospel of Christ. But if we listen to Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14, he says, whereunto he called you by our gospel. And so we start seeing from early that the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus Christ, that this is something, though administered by Christ, it's something that we can take ownership of. So the gospel of Christ, the Apostle Paul here is saying, whereunto he called you by our gospel. But I'll get back to that. Not only is the called out accomplished by the gospel, but Christians are not of this world. St. John chapter 15 and verse 19 tells us that we, the called out, are not of this world. Okay, and I'm trying not to pause too long, so if I don't hear you, you pick up and start reading, I'll just move on. All right, St. John chapter 15, verse 9. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, says 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, because not only is it that we are called by the gospel, and that as Christians we are not of the world, but Christians are not to love the world. So that's why in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So the called out is accomplished by the gospel. The called out are Christians, but they are not of this world. The called out are Christians, but they do not love the world. The called out, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, we are told that the Christian should not have fellowship with the world. That's the essence and the sense of the called out, that we are separate and distinct from the world. Ephesians 5 and verse 11.
And have no fellowship.
And have no fellowship.
With the unfruitful works of darkness.
With the unfruitful works of darkness.
But rather reprove them.
So instead of having fellowship with the world and with those associated with darkness, we are encouraged rather to reprove them. So our disposition is not to be in arms, in collusion, in harmony with darkness, but rather because we are called out, because we are separate, because we are different from, then it is our responsibility to rather correct, to be guiding those who are in darkness to come to the light. Not only that, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, we are told that the Christians should be separate from darkness. So that's why we do not have fellowship, because we ought to be separate from darkness. Do you have that? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18.
Wherefore, come out from among them.
Come out from among them, we are encouraged.
And be ye separate.
Be ye separate.
Saith the Lord.
Saith the Lord. Saith the Lord.
And touch not the unclean
touch
thing.
Touch not the unclean thing. Are we getting the picture of the called out? That we are separate. Because sometimes as Christians, we fall into this thing where, yes, I'm Christian, but I am so entrenched in the world. I'm so bogged down and so a part of everything else that we cannot make a distinction between us and darkness, between us and the world. But we are encouraged to be separate, says the Lord. Verse 18.
And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters.
So what we find is that as the called out, we are separated. So now we are no longer children of Satan. We are no longer children of the world, but we are sons and we are daughters of God Almighty. So therein we see that the church is the called out. We should recognize that as the church, as this group of people bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, that we are separate and we are distinct from the world. But let us hasten to examine further. Yes, we are the church. We are the called out. But by whom are we called? By whom do we get our calling? You know, before I even jump into that segment of the lesson, you know, there's a statement that I found, and it is one documented from 1964. That means that's before I was born. The Gospel Advocate, in December 3rd, 1964, says, in respect to the church is a body of baptized believers called out from the world, over which Christ reigns as head, and in which the Holy Spirit dwells. And I like it. And it is something that I think we should all ponder, because we will readily recognize that the church is an organism. It consists of members. It's a body. But it is a body made up of believers, baptized believers. So not only is the church a body, but it is a body of baptized believers. Not only is the church a body of baptized believers, but these baptized believers are called out from the world. And that's what we are talking about. Called out from the world. They are called out from the world, over which Christ reigns as head. And that's the first point we want to delve into. Christ, it is Christ who is head of the church. We're not going to get into the fact that the church has no earthly head. There is no superintendent over the churches in Jamaica. There is no headquarters that we can point to in some other continent like Europe or the Americas to say that's where our headquarters is. No, we have none other than Jesus Christ as the head of the church. But Let us continue to examine that statement. So it says, not only is the church a body, and a body of baptized believers that have been called out from the world over which Christ reigns as head, but it also has the Holy Spirit that dwells with it. And so when we see this type of description about the church, then we as members of the church should recognize that we are a part of something real special. We should never take it as if we are like another denomination, like we are a part of an institution that some man with some probably charismatic and high dream came up and instituted. This institution, this organism that we are a part of, is one that has been established by Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit dwells with the church. So we have sort of answered the by whom, but let's dwell on it a little bit more. So the church, the called out, is called out by Jesus Christ. In fact, Christ says in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 through 30, he makes the bidding. He makes the call. And he says, picking up at verse 28 of Matthew 11, he says,
come unto me.
Come unto me.
All ye that labor.
All ye that labor.
And are heavy laden.
And are heavy laden.
And
I'm calling you. You see, that is the call that we are receiving from Jesus Christ. He's saying, come, I'm calling all of you who are heavy laden, all of you who are burdened. I'm saying, come, read.
And I will give you rest.
And I will give you something. I'm going to give you rest. Read.
Take my yoke upon you.
Take my yoke, says Jesus Christ.
And learn of me.
And learn of me, yes.
For I am meek.
I am meek.
And lowly in heart.
I'm lowly in heart.
And ye shall find rest.
And that is why I can give you rest. Because I am that type of God. You shall find rest to your most valuable possession, that is your soul. So Jesus Christ is the one who is calling us. Don't get sidetracked by seeing a mere man at the pulpit saying, come to Christ. No. It is Christ himself who is calling us to be a part of that called out. In fact, Jesus Christ made sure that even though he would have used terms like, you know, Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom, that it is he, Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, it is Jesus Christ himself that built the church. You know, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But let me hasten to highlight to us, and that is part of what I want to leave with us in this lesson, that even though it is Jesus Christ himself who has called us, it is he who established the church of Christ, that he has left this treasure, the gospel, in earthen vessels. That Jesus Christ has left the treasure of the gospel in our hands. Our hands who? Those of us who have been called out, who have been called to be separate from the world. Let's go back to Thessalonians chapter 2 and pick up back at verse 14. We read it earlier because we are told that the calling out is accomplished through the gospel.
Whereunto?
Yes.
He called you by our gospel.
He called you by our gospel.
To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.
You see, Jesus Christ wants to give us rest. That's why he beckoned. That's why he instituted the church. But here the Apostle Paul is saying, I am calling you, or you are being called by our gospel. As part of the called out, we have to now embrace the gospel as ours. The gospel of Christ is ours to take. It is ours to spread. It is ours to scatter throughout our influence and the world in which we exist. Where you finish at verse 14 and 15? Because he has said to us that we are the called by our gospel. Read on. You are still at Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14.
Verse 15. Therefore, mm-hmm. brethren, mm-hmm. stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught.
All right. Pick up back at verse 14. Let's keep the flow going there.
He called you by our gospel.
Whereunto he called you by our gospel.
To the obtaining of the glory.
To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he wants us to participate in the glory of Christ. You see, we can't be in darkness and then be associated with Jesus Christ. Then verse 15 links with verse 14 and starts with the word, the conjunction, therefore brethren. Therefore, brethren, because we are the called out, therefore, brethren,
stand fast.
Stand fast.
And hold.
Because we are called out, brethren, stand fast. As the called out, let us not be fenke fenke. As the called out, let us not be tossed to and fro. As the called out, let us stand firm. Let us be sure who we are, because we are no longer in darkness. We are now in light because we are called out. Because we are called out, then we are not only called upon to stand fast and to know what we are about, but we are to
hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle.
So whether it is by what you hear preaching, or whether it is by what the apostles wrote, whatever the tradition is, you know, we probably have to fix this up a little, because there are some denominations full of tradition. You know, you come in here and the place will smell like perfume, or all kind of essence. You know, you come in and all kind of thing, walking with the tradition of how they are dressed, you know, the men in dress. But the traditions that we are talking about are not the traditions of man. But it is what you would have been taught by the apostles' word. You notice how Paul took ownership of the gospel. It is the gospel of Christ, but then he called it our gospel. I know this sort of runs consistent with how Paul dialogues with the church. Wasn't it the same Paul in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6 that told us that though we are an angel from heaven, come and speak any other thing than that which we, the apostles, would have taught, let that apostle coming back be accursed, or let that angel be accursed. Why? Because we always have to stick to what was delivered. We, as the called out, cannot, because times have changed, then we get carried away, you know, and without taking anything away from, you know, the what has been accomplished through the Sunday school program, Reaching Far. And that's the nature of the gospel. You know, when God gave, Christ gave the great commission, he said, go ye into all the world. You know, go. And wherever the reach is, we must utilize that to reach the world. But so many, even within the body of Christ, would have distorted the responsibility that we have to the local congregation and would seek to be online instead of in the pews, to seek to be worshiping God, taking the communion online. These are things that are new things that are not sticking with the tradition that has been taught. You know, I'm stepping away from my outline a little. But it is important to note that, especially as it relates to the Lord's Supper, that it is important that we recognize that we need to come together. If we examine 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the amount of time that it talks about coming together, you know, at places it even says, come together in one place. So we see the importance of keeping and holding the traditions which we have been taught. So many times, still stepping away from my outline, we are saying that because things have gotten modern, then we need, in a setting like this, to have our eloquent, educated sisters preaching. But no, that's not a part of the tradition that we have been taught in the epistles, nor in the words of the apostles. You know, we would have been hearing in the media, I'm still outside of my lesson plan, and we hear of the institution who would have been saying, well, we want to instill a new policy because we want to be all embracing. And so if you want to do business with us, that's the road that we're going on, then don't come to us and say that I am he or I am she. You know, they're saying you can't make a distinction. And they are muddying the water. But we need to be careful that no matter what is happening around the world, that we recognize that the Bible speaks clearly that there is male and female. That an elder cannot be a sister. That a deacon cannot be a sister. And while we recognize that our sisters are knowledgeable, and they ought to be, Priscilla was knowledgeable. So knowledgeable that a preacher came her way and privily, privately, with her husband, they were able to expound unto him more clearly the word of God. What's the point? It is not an issue of ability. From then, sisters were faithful, strong, and knowledgeable. So when God says that the prerogative of preaching in a mixed audience is that of the brother, then we will hold on to that no matter what is happening around us. But guess what? The pressure is going to come on. My reading of things is that there is a backing down. But I believe that it's probably a stepping back to come again. And we are seeing it all over. But can I try to come back to my lesson plan? And how did I get there? Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold the traditions which ye have been taught. We have to recognize that as the called out, that we are tied to the teachings of the apostles, because these are the teachings of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, for I am not
ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Why?
For it is the power of God.
Because it is the power of God to save. You know, we can understand why Paul and the apostles would have taken ownership of the gospel. You know, he's saying here, I'm not ashamed of it. Why? Because it is the power of God to save. You know, we shouldn't start thinking now that, well, it's just the apostles that have a role in the gospel. But that each of us, because like Paul, like Peter, like John, like all the early Christians, we too today are a part of the called out. We today are a part of those to whom the gospel has been entrusted. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7 tells us that we have been entrusted with a treasure. And this treasure is in earthen vessels. And this earthen vessel is mankind. Read for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7.
But we have this treasure.
We have this treasure.
In earthen vessels.
In earthen vessel.
That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
So you see, even though we're talking about this gospel and that we are associated with it, it's still God, you know, it's still God-centered. But what we want to recognize is that this gospel is something that we have a role to play in, because we are a part of the called out. And being a part of the called out means that we have a responsibility. Can we just step up a few verses, step up to probably a verse 4. So for us to understand, because it's the passage says this treasure. But what is this treasure? What are we talking about? Pick up at about verse 4 or so.
In whom the God of this world
hath
blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ.
Verse 3.
But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost.
I just wanted to give you a little context. That when we're talking about the treasure, we're talking about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. But you notice Paul again. Read verse 3 again.
But if our gospel be hid.
If our gospel be hid. Don't miss it, you know. If our gospel be hid.
It is hid to them.
Hold it there. I just want to make sure that we are getting it. The gospel is the gospel of Christ. But we saw it in Thessalonians, and we are seeing it again in Corinthians, where the writer is taking ownership of the gospel. It is the gospel of Christ, but it is our gospel. Why? Because we are the called out. So it is not that I have become a member of the church, and this is what the church is supposed to do. That the church shares the gospel. Yes, the church shares the gospel, but it is personal. It is our gospel. It is for us to share. So that is why now, when you know, we come down to verse 7, but we have this treasure, and this treasure is in earthen vessels, that we might, that by the excellency of the power may be of God and not us. So we have been entrusted with the gospel. You know, and I think that this is something that we need to sort of step back and digest. Let it sink in. Because it is easy for us to say, well, the sharing of the gospel takes place at the pulpit. But really, the gospel is entrusted in us who are the called out. The fact that we have been called out of darkness into light, then we have a responsibility to own the gospel so that we too can share the gospel. It is not for something, it is not fidem gospel, but it is our gospel because we are part of the called out. You know, from a deity perspective, you know, we have the Godhead, you know, we have the angels, we have us, the humans, then we have a host of all kind of animals and plants and whatever. But to who or to whom was the gospel entrusted? It was entrusted to man. It is entrusted to Christians. It's entrusted to those who are the called out. You know, while the Holy Spirit actively works with the Christian, actively works with the called out, we have no evidence that the Holy Spirit is directly involved in the gospel, the sharing of the gospel. Imagine that. You know, we could look at Acts chapter 8 and verse 29, where it talks about the Spirit. Well, let's go to it quickly. Acts chapter 8, in fact, read verse 26 and to 29.
And the angel of the Lord mm-hmm. spake unto Philip, saying, mm-hmm. Arise.
Sorry, the who? Start reading again.
And the angel of the Lord.
The angel of the Lord, you know. I really wanted to go to verse 29, but let me collapse the thought. All right, because I was talking about spirit, but here we're talking about angel as well. All right, so here we have the Holy Spirit. It talks in verse 26 about the angel of the Lord. And what did the angel of the Lord do?
And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip.
Spake unto Philip.
Saying, mm-hmm. Arise.
Arise.
And go toward the south, mm-hmm. unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem, mm-hmm. unto Gaza, which is desert.
And that's where he met the man from Ethiopia. All right, the minister of finance. All right, you use the minister of finance in this week. And as a particular thought just flashed up in your mind. All right, but this man was a man of great authority. All right, under the queen Candace. All right. And then when we reach down to verse 29, it says,
then the Spirit said unto Philip. Go near.
So, this interaction, we see Philip getting interaction. All right? This one and same person, let's for convenience separate it. All right? Spirit, angel. But what are we seeing here is heavenly beings. And what is the purpose? The purpose is to get a person ignorant of the gospel to be enlightened about the gospel. Do you get it? Here we had a man that traveled miles upon miles, and he read scripture. But he wasn't understanding. He was not having realization of Jesus Christ and what Christ would have done to save us from sin. Apparently, Godhead, deity, heaven, the purpose of heaven, wanted to make sure that this person was exposed to the truth of the gospel. Spirit involved, angel involved. But what we are seeing is that they got their involvement so far as to direct the called out to the prospective. What's the point? Because the gospel is entrusted in earthen vessel, made up of the dirt, of the earth, flesh, you know, from dust we came, all right? That's how he formed man. We are earthen vessels. But notice that as much as God and heaven wanted man to be saved, to be exposed to the truth of the gospel, they did not have at any time the angel teaching him. Did not have at any time the Spirit teaching him. Who did the teaching? Philip. You know, verse 31 says, you know, as Philip came near to him in verse 30, he heard him reading. I said, do you understand what you're reading? And the minister of finance says, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come down and sit with him. And he talked about where he read from. And where he was reading from was such a great place to be reading. And Philip taught him. Philip, being a part of the called out, Philip recognizing that the gospel of Christ was his gospel to share, then taught him, and later on we see that that minister of finance would have obeyed the gospel. He would have then joined the called out. We saw, you know, our documentation of him told us that he went on his way rejoicing. I can just imagine that as he went on his way rejoicing, that he would not be covering up that joy. That persons would be saying, "What are you so joyous about?" And then he would explain to them that he's joyous because he now understands what it is when it says he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. He would have been able to say, "I know that this is about the man Jesus Christ, who is not just a man, but he is our Savior." So he would have joined the called out. And so it is that we as Christians, that we are a part of the called out. And because we are a part of the called out, then it is our responsibility to also share the gospel with others. The gospel becomes our gospel. You know, time won't allow me to also go to Acts chapter 5 and verse 19. But there too, we saw a heavenly being. And he was directing a called out person to share the gospel with a prospective. What is the point? While we are called by Jesus Christ, it is our responsibility to share the gospel. Because the gospel becomes our gospel. Why? Because we are a part of the called out. We are a part of those who have been called out of darkness into a light. And that will be the other point to make. Because having seen that the church is the called out, and that it is called out by Christ, but then this is accomplished by the gospel, and that the gospel is that treasure, and that treasure being the gospel is entrusted to us being the called out, then we recognize that we can't just sit and just continue our Christian journey without also sharing the gospel. When we get a chance to come back to this lesson, we will explore that the church being the called out is not only that we know that it is called out by Christ, but we will learn and we will explore further that the church, the called out, is called out of darkness. But most, well, I don't want to give more, probably any greater weight to one part than the other, but I find it quite enlightening that the church being the called out by Christ, and called out of darkness, that no less than four characters in the New Testament spoke about called out for what? You know, there's a thing, you know, turned down for what? Well, we are called out. But called out for what? We want to explore that when we pick up back the lesson. But suffice it to say that if you are here and you are a member of the church, recognize that you are a part of a special group. You're a part of an organism. You're a part of a body. You're a part of a body that is made up of baptized believers called out of from the world, over which Christ reigns as head and in which the Holy Spirit dwells. If you are hearing my voice, and you are not a part of the church, then you need to recognize that you need to be called out of the world. You need to leave darkness and enter light. You need to recognize that, like that minister of finance from Ethiopia, that you need to hear the word of God, hear the gospel, hear the good news. Jesus Christ came to save us. Having heard that, you need to believe and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you believe that and you are able to express that truth, that he is the Son of God, then repent of your sins, make a change, make a turn. Say, I'm no longer going to take the direction of darkness, but I'm going to take the direction of light. That's repentance. Then all you need to do thereafter is to be immersed in water. So you come in unity with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then having been baptized and raised to live in newness of life, then you continue faithful. And part of that faithfulness, and I come back to the Christians, is to continue and to join in the sharing of the gospel. Living a faithful life, but that includes sharing the gospel. If I haven't said anything, let me just end with this point. You cannot be a part of the called out and you are not calling others. You cannot be a part of the called out and you are not doing personal evangelism. It does not equal.